يا من هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of Consciously Connected, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. The voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 21st of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding with the 20th of April, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have just heard a very inspiring talk by Sheikh Dr. Abdul Hakim Murad on the topic of Tawbah. We will now, insha'Allah, be crossing over to Brother Abu Bakr Sidat, Hafizahullah, for the program Biladul Muslimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, to you and the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, we trust that you are well. Our listeners are also in the same spirit. Winter seems to be setting in. Alhamdulillah, this is only the grace and mercy of Allah that the seasons change and bring about some rejuvenation of the nature also. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa aluhu. Through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today we continue with our history of Pakistan. Over the last few months, we have been dealing with the history of Pakistan, and now we're coming to the creation of Pakistan. And Mawlana, I have written a thesis on Pakistan during my studies, titled the Pakistan Crisis in Solutions. And today we're going to discuss this thesis in detail. It's about 40 pages, alhamdulillah, and it summarizes the whole history of Pakistan since its birth and up to the present moment. The catalyst for the creation of Pakistan is aptly symbolized in the Badshahi Mosque, situated in the provincial capital of Lahore. The mosque, built by Aurangzeb, the sixth Mughal emperor, reflects the transition from colonialism to independence. During the British Raj and Sikh rule in the Punjab, the mosque was used variously in the 19th century as an ammunition dump, like how Al-Aqsa was used during the time of the Crusades, as a stable, soldiers' barracks, or a stable for horses. The mosque today is held as the legacy of the Pakistanis, as the inheritance of the Mughals. The poet, philosopher, laureate of Pakistan, Allama Muhammad Iqbal, rahmatullah alayh, the ideologue for the creation of a separate Islamic state in Southeast Asia, is buried at the entrance to the mosque. The symbolism is further enhanced by the fact that Iqbal was a Kashmiri, and all the strands of Pakistan's hopes, aspirations, and challenges converge upon the minarets of the Badshahi Mosque. The failure of the Indian Mutiny in 1857 resulted in the Muslims of the country in one stroke, losing a capital, an empire, and an emperor. The outcome of this tragedy was that the Muslims in British India were relegated to the Hindu sense of hierarchy at the bottom of the caste structure as Amlakshya, as ritually dirty and alien outsiders. And today we see it in the ideology that is being pursued by the BJP under Modi. Pakistan emerged from the pogrom of partition in 1947, a disjointed country, amid the euphoria of a country created solely in the name of Islam and for Muslims, to find a new political center. Diverse interest groups emerged to guide this new country in its role as an important member of the world community. The constitution has been the central issue that has wrestled the conscience of the country since its birth. Where the constitution has failed to address the crisis, solutions have been sought in extra-constitutional regimes. This has only exacerbated the crisis. At the time of partition, the founding father of Pakistan, the Qaid-e-Azam, Muhammad Ali Jinnah Rahmatullah Alayhi, bemoaned that what he had inherited was moth-eaten and truncated. The distance between the east and west wings of Pakistan, straddled by 1,600 kilometers of hostile Indian territory in between, the allocation of resources, the blockade of the headwaters of the Indus Basin into Pakistan, and the demarcation of boundaries, disregarding contiguous areas and the unresolved Kashmiri problem, contributed towards the despair of the leaders in the early years of Pakistan. It was in this milieu of aspiring to fulfill diverse interests that the leaders of Pakistan, especially under Jinnah, grappled to answer the many problems confronting them. It is ironic that Jinnah, who throughout his confrontation with the British colonialists and through the Indian National Congress, displayed a strong affinity to the constitutional process, was not successful in impressing upon his colleagues of the gravity of the task to draft a constitution in accordance with the professed aims and objectives set forth by the Pakistan movement, that the Pakistan was the result of an ideological struggle conceived, launched, and successfully established and accomplished in the name of Islam. The insistence of an Islamic polity and the entanglement with Western ideologies had given Pakistan a roller coaster ride through its history. Its crisis regarding the constitution was compounded by the fact that some factions that existed at the birth of Pakistan in 1947 still continued to play a major role in the next decades following it. Our presentation of this thesis is based on Pakistan, Crisis in Solutions, and examine the ongoing crisis in the Constitution of Pakistan, the three constitutions of 1956, 1962, and 1973, the currently suspended constitution. The attempts to find solutions in stabilizing the country through the military bureaucratic regimes and the return to a civilian elected government. The thesis will also endeavor to examine the methods and means pursued by the political elites to legitimize their rule at the expense of the constitution, thereby compounding the crisis that has dogged Pakistan since independence. Finally, through the study, we identified the various factors undermining the implementation of the Constitution, as Huntington had observed, that though the goal is democracy, Pakistan has had bureaucratic and military rule interrupted by occasional elections. The legacy of constitutionality has its roots in the religious fears of the Mujahideen movement of Samad Syed Ahmad Shaheed, Shah Wali Allah of Delhi, that he passed away in 1762, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and that of Devan under Mulana Qasim Nanotvi, Rahmatullah Alayhi. The abolition of the Ottoman Empire and with it the Islamic Khilafat in the aftermath of the First World War gave impetus to the movement, especially the Khilafat movement of Mulana Muhammad Ali Johar and his brother Mulana Shaukat Ali Johar. Among the movements were also the Tablighi Jamaat of Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Reform Sufi movement of Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and the Jamaati Islami of Mulana Abul Ala Maududi Rahmatullah Alayhi. The establishment of the Aligarh Islamic College by Sir Syed Ahmad Khan in 1898, and the ideological framework as espoused by Allama Muhammad Iqbal also helped formulate and promote the legacy. The Jamaati Islami of Mulana Maududi Rahmatullah Alayhi was the forefront for the institution of Islamic tenets in the Constitution of Pakistan. In a series of lectures on radio, he expounded the Islamic way of life that led to his imprisonment between 1948 and 1950 as an enemy of the state. In contrast, the secularists were also alert to the machinations of the mullahs in that the Constitution reflected the notions of a secular democracy. Jinnah reflected this in his early works of the Constitutional Assembly. Though he may not have wished for a theocratic or religious state, he certainly was aware of the sentiments of the religious community and his commitment to implement Islamic doctrines in the constitution of the country was seriously considered. At the time of partition, the Indian Independence Act of 1947 provided for the partitioned dominions to be governed under the Government of India Act 1935. Justice Muhammad Sharif was entrusted the task of drafting the interim constitution. This he achieved under the guidance of Jinnah. While India had succeeded in promulgating in its constitution within 2 years of achieving independence, Pakistan was in the throes of despair as Jinnah endeavored to bring a semblance of sanity to the provincial legislatures in Punjab and Sindh because of the rise of the power elites comprising the middle-class professional groups, merchant capitalists, and the big landlords, that is the zamindars. The enactment of the Public Representatives Office System Disqualification Act, that is PRODA, to subdue and punish recalcitrant politicians was a reflection of the disregard to the notions of a democratic state. The demise of the founder in September 1948 heralded the chairmanship of Tamizuddin Khan to the Constitutional Assembly. The problems confronting the Assembly were exacerbated by the East-West power bloc and the call by the ulama to incorporate Islamic tenets in the constitution. The Islamic ideological drive was led by Mulana Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the chairman of Talimat-e-Islam, and Abul Ala Maududi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who in 1952, after a convention held in Kashmir, in 1951 of the ulama fraternity, submitted extensive and detailed proposals to counter the secularists' contention that the ulama were not unanimous on the definition of an Islamic constitution. The challenge of the secularists was always responded with a resolute mind, and concrete proposals, which are now on record, have become constitutional documents reflecting the rich contribution of the Islamic scholars of the time to the implementation of an Islamic state, not only in Pakistan, but for reference by the Islamic world and anyone else. The first draft of the constitution presented in 1950 was no different to the Government of India Act of 1935. And by 1954, the stalemate was no longer tolerable, to Ghulam Muhammad, the Governor General, who deposed Nizamuddin, the Prime Minister, the following year. The Second Constitutional Assembly was instituted on 21st June 1955 under Chaudhry Muhammad Ali. A new draft was presented in 56. The deep schism between the East and West manifested itself in 1956 with Sheikh Mujibur Rahman at a massive rally calling for the independence of East Bengal. Notwithstanding the schism, the constitution was ratified and became law on 23rd March 1956. The constitution of 1956 contained a preamble and 13 parts consisting of 234 articles and 6 schedules. The constitution was that of a modern parliamentary democracy to which several Islamic clauses had been added in response to the expectations of the religious leaders. The Islamic bent was reflected in the designation of the country as the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, whilst Part 3, Article 25, made for the promotion of Islamic principles. Part 4, Article 32, exclusively reserved the position of the head of state to a Muslim. Part 12, Articles 197 and 98, made provision for the establishment of an Islamic research center to assist in the construction of a Muslim society on a truly Islamic basis, and that no law shall be enacted which is repugnant to the injunctions of Islam, respectively. To the chairman of the ulama and the Jamaat-e-Islami, the main arbiter in determining the Islamicity of laws was to be the National Assembly. The directive principles of state policy was an addendum to the objectives resolution. The more specific on regulation of policies in regard to gambling, prostitution, regional prejudices, and the elimination of riba, and the implementation of zakat. These directive principles were not enforceable, but were merely to serve as a guide to the authorities in regard to policy formulation. Two other matters that challenged the Constitutional Assembly was the language issue and that of provincial autonomy. The language issue revolved around the acceptance of Urdu as the official language at the expense of Bengali, the language of East Pakistan, where the majority of the population was concentrated. At the provincial level also, the language issue came to the fore in Sindh, where Sindhi was declared the official language of the province, in deference to the decision of the center opting for Urdu. The groups that were involved in the development of the constitution in Pakistan, according to Binder, included the traditionalists, that is, representatives by the Jamaat-e-Islam, or Jamiatul Ulama-e-Islam, the fundamentalists, represented by the Jamaat-e-Islami, the modernists, that is, the politicians, businessmen, and professionals, and the secularists, represented by the most highly westernized politicians, senior civil servants, and military officers. The fractious nature of Pakistan society reared its head to confront the nation state in the form of the Punjab. The sordid petty squabbles and intrigues among the office bearers resulted in internecine war among the factions in the Punjab legislature. Attempts at uniting the factions failed, and the legislative assembly in Punjab was dissolved by the provincial governor. Within 2 years of the promulgation of the Constitution of 1956, on the 7th of October 1958, Field Marshal Muhammad Ayub Khan seized control of the government and abrogated the Constitution. This marked the first collapse of parliamentary government. So since the decade of independence, the rivalries in parliament were anything but parliamentary. The Constitution of 1962 was promulgated in the shadow of Ayub Khan's military rule and the basic democracy regulations of the military dictatorship. Mohammad Mansur Khadr, a cabinet minister and sycophant in the regime, was designated to draft the constitution. Unlike the 1956 constitution, which had taken 8 years to draft, the constitution of 1962 was drafted and promulgated within 4 months of the establishment of the Constitutional Assembly. The constitution retained the preamble of the Constitution of 56 and consisted of 250 articles and 3 schedules. Article 215 resolved the language issue with the declaration of Urdu and Bengali as the official languages of Pakistan. The Islamicity of the constitution was entrenched in Article 10. An advisory council of Islamic theology was established under the leadership of Professor Fazlur Rahman, whose contempt for the traditionalists and fundamentalist ulama reinforced his Islamic modernism vision in the interpretation of Islam in contemporary context. The council was to advise the central and provincial legislatures on religious matters and whether legislation in parliament conformed to Islamic norms. Notwithstanding these articles on Islamicity, the constitution strayed to omit the word Islamic from the now official name Republic of Pakistan and also removed the divine sovereignty phrase from the constitution. The constitution retrospectively endorsed the presidency of Ayub Khan that he had proferred upon himself on the 14th of February 1916. It created a republican form of government and extended and consolidated the power of the president to promulgate rules and decrees and exercise emergency powers. This effectively weakened the executive and legislative branches of the government and ensured the locus of power in the president. The Constitution of 62 became the axis around in which various opposition groups rallied to secure their interests. Those on the right and left of the political spectrum criticized the Constitution. The Islamic factions belied its Islamic bent and called for the restoration to its First Amendment in 1963 of the country's name to the Islamic Republic of Pakistan and the inclusion of the Divine Sovereignty Clause. The most devastating effect of the Constitution of 62 on Pakistan was the emergence of Sheikh Mujibur Rahman as the Secretary General of the Awami League in 1963 and subsequently its President in 1966. He advocated the complete independence of East Pakistan, secession from the West, in the wake of the centralist provision of the constitution and the deprivation of provincial legislatures of any autonomy. The establishment of the Pakistan People's Party by Ayub Khan's prodigal son, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, in 1967, created an opportunity for Bhutto and the opposition to exploit the discontent and forced Ayub to abdicate power to General Yahya Khan. The second regime-sponsored constitution of 1962 held sway for about 8 years, that is from 62 to 69. Once again, Pakistan was in the throes of seeking an identity that was a refrain at the time of its inception. And the refrain was, Pakistan ka matlab kya hai? What is the purpose and meaning of Pakistan? And the answer refrain was, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. That is to establish the sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala on this earth. And this was the initial crux of the establishment of Pakistan. In the aftermath of the establishment of Bangladesh, on the 26th of March 1972, Yahya Khan was forced to acknowledge that he had lost his gamble to retain the unity of Pakistan. He was not only outwitted by Mujibur Rahman and the Awami League, but also the power brokers in Pakistan. The loss of the East Wing resulted in massive campaigns in Pakistan for the reassessment of the ideological basis of Pakistan and for called for deep soul searching. The Islamic parties laid the blame on the leadership for not adhering to the Islamic tenets, while the secularists contended that the democracy had been undermined by the military junta. In the face of all this pressure, Yahya Khan had lost complete control. His drunken escapades and depressive regression heralded the end of his regime. Bhutto, having recorded under his PPLP, that is the Pakistan People Party, a landslide victory in the 1970 elections under the slogan of Roti, Kapra, Makan, bread, clothing and shelter, or Islamic socialism as it was touted, ascended to the leadership. Bhutto's aim to restructure the political and social norms of Pakistan under the guise of Islamic socialism was a dubious policy for Muslim Pakistan. Indeed, that it espoused communism, which was an anathema for even the most secular sections of the Pakistani society. Upon his ascension to power, Bhutto immediately took steps to implement his mandate. A 25-member Special Constitutional Assembly was established under the chairmanship of M.A. Kasturi, who was later succeeded by Abdul Hafiz Pirzada. The assembly, despite having to contend with linguistic, cultural, and the rampant self-interest of the landlords and the politicians, succeeded in presenting a draft for consideration by the National Assembly, which approved the Constitution on the 10th of April 1973 by 125 votes to 3. The Constitution of 1973 granted to Pakistan its first representative constitution that was approved by the National Assembly, that was endorsed by a general election, thus fully representative of the masses. According to Benazir Bhutto, it was Pakistan's first democratic constitution framed by genuinely elected representatives of the people that for the first time in Pakistan introduced the provisions of fundamental human rights and the rule of law. And we know how that is being abused now in this current situation in Pakistan. The constitution consisted of a preamble, 280 articles and 6 schedules. It is also regarded as the most Islamic constitution in that the preamble detailed the various concepts of democracy, freedom, equality, tolerance and social justice according to the injunctions of Islam. The designation of the country as the Islamic Republic of Pakistan confirmed the visions of the Pakistan movement at the time of its founding. The constitution also declared Islam as the religion of the state and retained the objectives resolution and its preamble. Article 31 made teaching and learning of the Quran compulsory. The constitution pacified the ulama and the Jamaat-e-Islami with the incorporation of the demands regarding riba, usury, the institution of zakat and al-qaf. Bhutto also amended the constitution in 1974 to declare the Ahmadiyya sect of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as a non-Muslim minority in Pakistan. The government was accountable to parliament and not to the president, and it, the parliament, was supreme legislative organ. The bicameral parliament consisted of the lower house, that is the National Assembly, representing the popularly elected members, and 30 nominated seats reserved for women and minorities. The upper house, the Senate, represented the leaders of the provincial assembly and the administrative territories. The Constitution also recognized the independence of the judiciary. Now we have come to the end of our program, our 10th lines, and we trust that our listeners and yourself have gained some information about regarding the history of Pakistan. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us, and we will continue with our dissertation next week, inshallah, to the grace and mercy of Allah. To you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya man huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.